This is Nick Yurick, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Hordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Hordano Diablo.
And this week on the show, we are joined by wrestler and comedian RJ City.
Yes, you can just say rock on tour. I think that covers both of my avenues.
Well, I think, and it's just funny because you always do say, you're like, I'm not a wrestler, I'm an entertainer.
Right. Well, I think the issue is that wrestling is entertainment and people have a hard time grasping that, both on the inside and outside of the business for some reason.
Well, that's like why I love, it's funny because so me and my fiance have been together for almost 3 years. And
what's the deal? You got cold feet?
No, we're poor.
Fair enough.
But you know, we got tattoos. Like, I'm committed to the girl, you know, but,
yeah, because nobody's gotten a bad tattoo before.
Oh no, I only have a couple. I have one of Sabu that he hates, and it went all around, Reddit and Twitter. For 3 days, my, Twitter blew up with people telling me how bad it was. But I just let the negativity go away. I don't care.
Well, I mean, I've yet to see a good Sabu tattoo.
Well, I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, it was a questionable decision as it is because of who he is.
Yeah.
So, but I was going to say, at the very beginning of me and my fiance dating, she's really into drag queens. And I had always liked RuPaul, but that was like my only interest in it, I guess.
RuPaul is like the Hulk Hogan of drag queens, where like everyone knows her. Yeah,
exactly. Like, yeah. She was like, well, how do you know RuPaul? I was like, the Brady Bunch movies. And so she introduced me to drag, and I fell in love with Bob the Drag Queen and Trixie. And then she moved in pretty quick with me, and I started watching like wrestling. I was like, hey, this is what I do on Mondays and I think it was Thursdays at the time, Wednesdays. And she's like, okay, well, I'll sit here and watch it with you, but I'm not gonna pay attention. I'm like, all right, cool. The next week she goes, well, I'm not gonna learn any of their names. And then like 4 weeks in, she goes, Braun Strowman's my favorite. So,
well, wrestling and drag queen, I always say wrestling is just like drag queens, except wrestlers are not in on the joke.
That's, and she basically said the same thing. She was like, wrestling is just drag queen.
I'm here to confirm it from the inside. It's probably worse. Are you drinking a White Claw?
I am. What?
When have you had breakfast, and when are you having lunch? These are my questions.
I had Cracker Barrel. I had a country fried steak.
Cracker Barrel is where Hooters waitresses go to die.
Yo, 100%. Yeah. Except like it's like the strippers and porn stars and all that, that's where they go when they find Jesus.
Yeah. If we may veer off topic since we've never gotten on it yet.
Yeah.
I just want to say, if you do know, I want to tell all your wonderful listeners that the aprons of the waitresses at Cracker Barrel, there's a star system. They have, some of them will have one to five stars, you'll see, just below their name. And it's their level of expertise. They have to be trained. It's almost like getting your black belt in karate.
Or is it more like the Dave Meltzer system of rating matches?
No, because they have to be specifically tested on these things. This is, it's not subjective at all.
Fair enough. The other cup of coffee I was drinking with you this morning.
You're just going for as much liquid acid as possible.
All right. Well, why are we here, Jeremy?
So, RJ, why do you hate people chewing?
Because I, as I think most of us are, and we refuse to acknowledge it, am still coming to terms with how disgusting the human body is. And I think one reason I hate hearing the chewing is because it reminds me of it so in such a visceral, gross way. And people have, first of all, there are good chewers and bad chewers. I will say that, number one. But I will say almost all chewing bothers me, including my own.
Mm-hmm.
If you really sit in silence, like if I had a sandwich and I was in one of those deprivation chambers, I think I would lose my mind.
So do you often find yourself trying to eat like a lizard, just one bite and scarf it down your throat so you don't have to hear it?
I find myself distracting myself. I will have music on. I will have the television on.
All right, so
go ahead.
We're gonna have, obviously, we're gonna, you know, let you plug everything you got and everything you got coming up later on. But, well, not any matches because there aren't any. But RJ, for our listeners, he does a show every Sunday morning at 9:30 on YouTube for free, where he gets in his skivvies and he makes coffee and he answers questions. It's a live chat. And sometimes he has his grandmother or his wonderful mother on who just tries to steal his spotlight. And today, specifically, she brought up that RJ likes to only really eat for sustenance. And she was describing him eating a cucumber and she was doing it very loudly. And I could just only imagine you just like, oh, I don't even want to eat this, but you choose a cucumber to just crunch away at.
Now, this is the issue. I love cucumbers. Very yes. refreshing. Easy to hold and eat.
Sure.
You know, as opposed to, oh, let's say a grapefruit or a tangerine. There's a lot of work to do there.
And sticky. Yes.
And sticky, that too. But a good cucumber is difficult to chew quietly, just like a good apple.
Yeah, you know? Nobody wants a soft cucumber. I mean, exactly. unless it's a pickle, but that's not the same thing, you know?
Even then, you don't want a soggy pickle.
No, you don't. Pickle should be crisp.
See? Yeah. Yes. So there's some foods that you'll only know how good they are based on how bad the chewing is.
Like, if I get a nice pastrami on rye
yes.
that comes with a pickle, if that pickle is soggy, I will throw it back at the person. It's disgusting. Like Brugger's bagel.
This is why you got kicked out of Cracker Barrel. Okay.
So, do you guys have? I know you know what Brugger's is, but do they have it in Toronto?
No, they haven't ventured that far north yet.
Because they'll give you a pickle and they wrap it up in paper, and the paper's wet by the time
you get it. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you both of you are in Cleveland.
Yes,
we are.
Okay, well, I want to talk about something that's close to you that okay. also gives me was a really gross chewing experience. It was a little establishment called Tony Paco's.
Oh yeah.
I was not familiar with it. I was driving home from a show and it was the only thing, and I thought, it's this Tony Paco's cafe. And now the word cafe is really questionable when you
always.
Go to this place, because all they had was really mainly hot dogs, and then I think pierogies. Mm. It was violently Polish.
That's the best kind of restaurant.
Yes. And there is nothing more disgusting than watching someone attempt to even just open their mouth and present themselves a fully loaded hot dog.
Oh, which is funny. Let's stop there. Jeremy, what's your favorite food in the world?
Hot dogs with all the fixings on them.
Yeah, well, look, I understand how good it tastes. I just feel like it's something that you should eat in private.
I understand your hesitance to enjoy other people eating hot dogs, but, you know, just watching everybody get covered in the same disgusting goop because this food is so good is a very therapeutic experience for me.
See, to me, I feel like it's almost the equivalent of masturbating, where you're like, this is disgusting, which is why I'm closing my door and making sure no one is around, and I'm shutting the lights off so even I don't have to see it.
So your shame is hidden completely.
Yes.
Well, much like masturbation, when you get it to go and no one else can see it, they don't pile as much good stuff on it that you would normally get, you know, if you sat down and did it like an adult in front of other people.
I'm not gonna say I've watched these videos, but I've come across videos on the internet where I believe you said when it goes is what you said. I do see people mix it. I have seen people mix it with other things, and which brings me to a whole other level of disgusting.
It's just I don't know. And this, I'm reminded of the scene in a film called Nothing But Trouble.
Oh, yes.
Where Dan Aykroyd loads up a bratwurst, I believe. And it has that little, he has the shakes, and there's a little flop in the sausage. And that's all before he even gets it in his mouth.
And not to mention the penis head on his
Let's
nose.
Let's talk about that for a second, for what I believe was marketed as a children's film.
Well, children have penises. They can see them.
Yes, not like that. Talk about a bratwurst. And also, Tupac's in the movie.
Yeah, because Tupac and what was the group called? Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
Underground.
Digital Underground. That was, it's such a weird cameo for that cast of characters.
It was of the time that rap groups were going mainstream and they would all do movie songs. Like MC Hammer did the Addams Family song. It's all
Vanilla
around this.
Ice did Turtles.
Yes, and then the worst one, which you thought was going to be great, was, I guess, Prince doing Batman.
All right. So my thing on that is people, I may be biased because I love Prince so much and I love Batman so much that I like it, but like people consistently tell me like, oh no, it's terrible. And they say the same thing about Purple Rain. I love Purple Rain. Everybody's like, it's a terrible movie, but I'm like, oh, it's great.
It's one of those things where it's very difficult. Some people get so successful that they end up being so disconnected from what people actually want that they can't even tell because they're surrounded by so much success. I always say, like, Jerry Lewis is like that.
Yes. He is absolutely like that.
Have you ever heard the story about, real quick, Sherry, the story that Kevin Smith tells about Prince? Have you ever heard that?
No.
Okay, no. So he did the very first An Evening with Kevin Smith. They filmed it in Kent State, actually. And it was like the first of his, you know, you can't really call it stand-up. It's like a spoken word, one-man show type thing. And he goes into this story. After Prince saw Dogma, he wanted Kevin to come make a documentary about him and like what Prince was going through at that time. And like, there's so many details. It's the craziest story, but just to like go back, make your point when people get disconnected. Kevin didn't want to do it because he was like, this isn't my story to tell. So I think Prince should direct it. And I guess Prince's like assistant was like, look, if you're not going to do it, you have to go tell him. And Kevin was like, why? Just go tell him I don't want to do it. She was like, you don't understand. He doesn't understand being told no. And Kevin's like, what do you mean? He's like, let's put it this way. Or the assistant was like, let's put it this way. He one time called me at 3:00 in the morning in the middle of winter in Minnesota and said, I need a camel in a half hour. And he couldn't grasp why he couldn't get one.
Right. It's like, it's the Hollywood equivalent of like being an only child.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
what were you gonna say, Cher?
I don't remember. I got distracted by your story of Prince and camels.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, this is Jerry Lewis. He's very out of touch. Where he thinks he can still say things that you know, aren't necessarily acceptable anymore. Because every few years you get the whole. Remember when Jerry Lewis said women aren't funny? It's like, yes, we know. He needs to be quiet.
Which was so bizarre and weird, because he would always there are certain women that he would, I mean, like at a certain point you look back and you go, well, obviously what you're saying doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
What do you think Jerry Lewis chews like? Like in his regular life, like not a character. Like, what do you think that's like?
Well, I did hear a story where he was being honored. He was getting some dinner for some achievement award thing. And it was a dinner and then the award. And he had to wear a tuxedo. And because he had to wear a tuxedo, the old show business rule is when you have a tuxedo on, you can't sit down because it will ruin the pants.
Okay.
Yeah. Which they ended up there's a Seinfeld episode about it. So during the dinner, he sat in his dressing room and ate dinner by himself with his pants off.
Because I was going to say, like, what I would picture him chewing like, and I know you'll get this reference. Sheer, have you seen That Thing You Do?
In passing.
Okay, so there's a character in it called Saul Seiler. He's the record company owner. And when the Wonders go to meet him for the first time, I think it's in the extended edition. He's making a sandwich, just like cold cuts and cheese and mustard. And he's just eating it and shit's falling out of his mouth. And the character reminds me so much of Jerry Lewis that I'm like, I bet that's what Jerry Lewis eats like.
Now, another thing that bothers me even almost twice as much is when people are eating on film and they make a point to put the sound effect in.
Oh, nobody needs to hear that.
I see that you're eating. Let's use a little cinema magic. You know what I mean? There's so many things, like, you know how on TV shows, nobody says goodbye. They just hang up the phone. Like, yeah. I don't need to hear you eat. And the worst example is the kids in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
There's the Jell-O scene. They finally, you know, after the big T-Rex scene in the middle of the night.
Oh, at the end?
They end up, well, they see the buffet and, you know, there's all this food. And I'm like, oh, and it's like 3 minutes of them happily eating in what should be silence.
Well, yeah, it's definitely not. Now, do you think that's because so many people find the sound of eating erotic and they just have to put it in there for those people?
Who are these people?
Yes.
Well, apparently, a member of my family, who I'll not name, got into quite a bit of trouble amongst my friends because he would stare at them while they were eating.
And wow.
So I would never have thought to do that. So apparently some people like it.
Okay, let me stop you there. The only time I look at somebody eating is when they're either chewing with their mouth open or chewing too loud, and I stare at them until they make eye contact with me, and I look at them, I say, stop it, you fucking cretin. I hate it.
Oh, it's gross.
This was just, he was eye contact. His eyes would occasionally drip down to their mouth to watch them eat their burgers, and
that's like masturbating and staring somebody in the face when they don't want it.
Now, to be fair, you can have a fetish with everything, you know.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's certainly possible, but I just also feel like even when you're snuggling with someone and you put your head on their stomach and then you hear their stomach and you go, "This is too close."
You have to take a poop, I think.
My head is far away from my stomach for a reason, so I don't have to hear the shit in my stomach. So I shouldn't have to put my head close to yours.
I don't know. I tend to avoid the sickly sounds of my lover's stomach.
Great name of a memoir.
The Sickly Sounds of My Lover's Stomach and All Other Stories. Okay.
And Other Stories.
But also, like, back to my general thesis, is that we're all trying to hide how disgusting we inherently are.
Agreed.
Not even exceptionally disgusting, just in the way that all human beings are disgusting.
Agreed.
We're just skin bags. really, really gross. And it's one of those things where it's like, I can't fully consider it because I will not be able to live the rest of my day.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely not. When you start thinking about the human body and then you start thinking about the human body breaking down, then you start questioning your own mortality and you have an existential crisis. And the girl that I was seeing before, my fiance, we had a lot of chemistry in the
bedroom. Did you get a tattoo for her too? Or
no, just, God, okay. No. Right. She ghosted me. That ruined me. There was a lot of chemistry in the bedroom. And I remember one time when we were both done and she looks over at me and she goes, you know what? Sex feels really good, but it is disgusting.
Oh, it's so disgusting.
Fluids and juices. What'd you say?
That's part of the charm for me.
Yes. And it is the, this is what I'm willing to overlook. You know?
Oh, no, this is what I signed up for. I want all the fluids and juices and disgustingness.
Yeah. Well, you know, RJ, Jeremy would fit in very well with our debaucherous Wednesday night.
Yes.
He grosses everybody out.
I have a nice late chat on Wednesdays at 10. I go live after dark.
Oh, well, RJ, yeah.
Yes. I try to talk about disgusting things, but people really just want to talk about Don Knotts with me, no matter like what time of day it is.
It's just once you bring up Don Knotts in casual conversation, you're stuck with him, buddy.
Right, I know. You are both wrestling fans.
Oh yeah,
big time. Yes.
So one of the greatest bizarre chews, I guess, in wrestling history. You've both seen Beyond the Mat.
Yes.
Have you seen how Vince McMahon chews water?
Oh
yeah.
Yes. Like yeah, it's this. And he goes.
Yeah, like he's swishing it around a little bit.
We make movies.
Yeah, but you know you're on camera.
That
line's going to be used. It was a real power play to be that disgusting on purpose.
And the funny thing is about that guy is that we hear all these stories about how, like, you know, he can't stand sneezing or he can't do this, but, like, the dude finds shit and poop jokes like the funniest thing in the world. Like,
very funny.
He has he's 74, 75, I think, somewhere around there.
Yeah, by the way, before I forget, his mother is like 100 and still alive.
Really?
Yeah, he's not gonna die.
Oh, I mean, I hope,
he's just not. I just don't see it happening.
That's the thing is like, you know, people have been asking me because I don't know if you're familiar with we're doing an issue on Greg coming up. I'm one of the curators of the zine Wrestle Void.
Mm-hmm.
And which off air, I'm going to tell you something cool about it. You and me are actually in this same thing going out together, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Well, that sounds vague and weird for everyone listening.
Well, if you think about a certain piece of merchandise you have coming out, God damn it, RJ, you're gonna make
yes. Me look like I'm coming out with my own RJ City chew silencers.
Yeah,
it's like a little cone you place over yourself, almost like a windscreen for a microphone.
But all right, so I forgot what I was gonna say about Wrestle Void. Fuck.
Vince McMahon.
Oh yeah, Vince. All right, so anyway, Vince has like regressed as a. Like his mentality has regressed, like as far as like what he finds funny and stuff. But in Wrestle Void, I made a comment in one of my letters about how if they do end up selling WWE, which I don't think will happen, but if they do, actually what I said was if the XFL goes under again, I think it's going to kill Vince McMahon. And I said this 6 months ago, and look where we're at now. Like, I don't know how many more beatings this guy can take. Like, he's so bullheaded. He's too bullheaded to die.
I will say, for a company going under a second time, he did it pretty smoothly.
Yeah, because he made
it. Getting sued.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Shear, is he everybody thinks he put like $500 million into it when in actuality he sold his stocks, kept the money, put some of his money into it, and then got investors, and now they all want their money back.
Evil genius.
Water chewer. He's a real water chewer.
That is RJ, that has to be a shirt.
I tweeted out that clip. And a lot of people retweeted it a while ago of Vince just chewing water and saying, we need to talk about it. By the way, Jeremy, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Arizona Energy Herbal Tonic. This is all I drink.
Wow. I've never heard of that before.
It's not available everywhere, so I have to go from store to store to store to store until they restock.
And RJ, he will literally buy – when we used to go record at the other studio – we would stop at a gas station. He would buy every fucking one they had. He'd come out with a bag of them.
And you don't, at no point did you try to get them online?
We looked the one day.
They were more expensive online than they are in the store.
Plus right. shipping, too.
Yes.
So but. It's just, I'm stuck going there. The place around the corner from me is like, we only order these because of you. And I was like, well, I'll take them. So keep it up.
So Sheer, you, before we, I have a couple questions, but before we go into it, what's your take? Obviously me and RJ despise chewing and especially people chewing with their mouth open. Where do you stand on all this?
I could care less. I am well aware that the human body is disgusting and I revel in it. So, it's not the one thing that annoys me is when people make the yummy sound when they're eating.
Like,
A wonderful scene is in What About Bob?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Bill Murray can't stop expressing his admiration for the corn he's eating.
What's the white, or what's their last name in the
Marvin, Dr. Yeah. Leo Marvin.
Oh, Mrs. Marvin. Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, it gets on my nerves, but then after a while I become fascinated by it. It's like, what is so good that you can't stop expressing it? And then I look over, it's just popcorn.
Oh, that's just rude. To chew popcorn in front of somebody else. That's why, like, movie theaters, I don't even like to go to movie theaters anymore because the sound of somebody opening their candy, like, if you're going to get candy at a movie theater, you open it before the movie. You don't open it during the movie.
No.
You open it before the movie.
And at the very least, during the, you know how they play regular trailers, but then before that, they have all like that movie bullshit. It's like, here's some trivia questions. Or like, did you guys like guess this Kevin Costner movie? You can open it then. Once the full lights go down, that means silence.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Before I forget though, RJ, you're from Toronto. Are you familiar with the chef Maddie Matheson?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I mean, not on a friendly level.
No. I just was wondering if you're familiar with him. So me and my fiance, big fans of his, think he's just like, you know, because we're all like, Jeremy is, me, her, she is, I am. We're all punk rockers. So it's like, you know, one of those things where it's like, oh, one of ours is doing something cool. So he's got a few different shows, and he's got this one with this kid named Benny, who I think is like a producer of sorts in L.A., and they go around and they eat food, like Lil Dicky, the rapper, was on one episode, blah, blah, blah. And then they make this thing called a mukbang. Do you know what this is?
I have heard of the mukbang.
Okay, so I had never heard of it until I watched this episode. So apparently they're going to make a mukbang and they fuck it up. And the reason they were going to make it is because there's this other YouTube channel of this guy who sits in a room with mics, a tiny soundproof room with mics, and doesn't talk and just eats. It's like, I think it's called ASMR.
Yes.
So, and Maddie Matheson is a disgusting chewer anyway. So they go to this guy, this mukbang guy, and they film the video, and it's four people eating this sloppy, wet mukbang. And I was like, I got 30 seconds into the video before I was like, absolutely not. This is fucking gross.
Yeah, it's like watching a snuff film.
Except makes I'm you... the one that dies.
Yes, it's just very uncomfortable. Now, I would also like to clarify, there has been a rumor perpetrated that people who are heavier set are perhaps are louder or messier chewers. And I want to say that is not true, and that is not an excuse.
No.
Regardless of your weight, there is chewing etiquette.
I'm a large person and I chew quietly.
Right. And so it's not, yes, it's not something you can hide behind and excuse your loud chewing.
No. And that's, and you notice something, that's because A, it's inexcusable. If somebody was like, oh, excuse me for my loud chewing, the only way I would accept it is like, do you not have like real teeth? I mean, you know, like Sheer, if you were doing it, I would understand. You have fucking dentures. But like, if somebody apologizes for their loud chewing and they have a normal fucking dental structure, I want to give them an unnormal dental structure.
But even if you have dentures, I think there is an air of caution.
There is.
Right?
There definitely is, because there's some things that you can start chewing and then your dentures pop out, and then it's even more embarrassing. Like, I can't eat corn on the cob. I can't eat a crusty bread sandwich, you know, because then my teeth will fall out.
One of my favorite things is I had him over for AEW Revolution. I had a whole group of people over, and we ordered a bunch of food. And he can't eat chicken wings, so I got to have the chicken wings, which I was pretty happy about.
Yeah, well, now that is one thing that I don't like, watching people eat chicken wings, because it's like eating pussy.
Oh, no, we're allowed to say pussy. We're allowed to say the bad words.
I did say it. I said
eating pussy. I'm watching RJ's reaction. He's like, oh, God, he said pussy.
I was just not prepared for it.
Yeah, it's eating chicken wings is a lot like eating pussy, and there is actually a correlation between how well and how messy someone eats chicken wings.
Are you trying to steal my fucking joke right now?
Is it your joke? I thought it would. You put it out into the world.
I put it out in the world. I was the one that said it. So let me back up here. We were on a show called Wrestling Cheers, hosted by Justin Summers. He's a big
the son of Mark Summers, the host of Double Dare.
Yeah, they look exactly alike. But he has a show called Wrestling Cheers. And it mostly focuses around Ohio wrestling.
Yes.
And, you know, we've been going on each other's shows back and forth. Cheers, known him a long time. But the last time we were on his show, somehow chicken wings got brought up. And what I said was, if you eat chicken wings good, you eat pussy good. And his girlfriend from the other room goes, true.
Yeah. That's why you go out to bars on dates. You know, they're waiting to see you eat them wings.
But you don't want to eat chicken wings and then go down on somebody, period.
You can clean up.
So let me tell you about my chicken wing eating habit, and then I'll let you extrapolate it. What I do is I will wipe my hands between each wing. Only to get them messy again. Halfway through this, I go, what am I doing? I'm de-saucing to just get tossed on. Why don't I just keep the, why don't I save myself the napkins?
Yeah.
I'm ruining the napkins.
Well, they're there to be ruined.
Yeah.
So I am guessing that oftentimes you're going to wipe your fingers off on the sheets only to get them messy again.
Yes. And I assume you're talking about a movie theater.
Yes. Oh, you wouldn't do that in your own house.
Oh, no. No, it's no chewing. If you have to chew or if you have to fornicate,
you have to go outside.
Take it outside, yes.
Well, it's past the 1st of May. Outdoor fucking has started.
Go ahead, Cheer. Sorry, go ahead.
Also, ribs. Ribs are another one where it's like...
But if ribs are made correctly, they aren't messy. Like, the way I make them, I don't like saucy ribs. I think saucy ribs are gross. I like a nice dry rub and then slow cooked, and then they fall off the bone, and you can eat them with a fork. You don't need to slather like you're fucking Fred Flintstone.
I love how everyone says they fall off the bone, but yet they serve it to you on the bone.
Yeah,
if they fall off the bone, just give it to me in a bowl. Just put the bare meat in a bowl, and I'll be fine.
A bowl of rib meat?
Yeah. Well, what is this whole bone business?
You know what?
I agree. If you're going to make them fall off the bone.
It's a way for them to get the poundage up. You know,
absolutely.
You think you're getting 4 pounds of ribs, but really you're getting 2.5.
Yeah. You ever get big boned on a wing?
Oh yeah.
You're like, look at this wing. And then you bite into it. And you're like, oh, what is this? There's no
meat. Then you bite into it and you're like, are they sure this was a chicken, not a hawk?
Yeah, just deep fried bone.
I find that more with frog's legs.
Ooh, I have not had them. I've had, I believe, gator.
Gator is good.
I've had alligator.
Yeah, but I think the frog's legs, mentally, I'm not ready for it yet.
Sure.
Are you just picturing the animal that you're eating? Is that the problem?
They don't have to say legs. They could just say, you know, they could call them like froguettes. Like, they could do a little work in distancing themselves from what it actually is.
Frog fries.
Yeah. Like, so could you imagine if they called chicken breasts chicken chest? Terrifying. I had a chicken chest sandwich. You sound like a serial killer.
Yeah, you don't want to, all right, you don't want to ever, unless you're a cannibal, you don't want to eat somebody's chest. You want to eat their boobs, but like with your mouth. You know?
Could you imagine if they said chicken arms instead of chicken wings?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So I think it's not the frog, it's the leg.
Well, okay. You know what? And it's also, all that is humans justifying, I'm not vegan or vegetarian, but like it's humans justifying and dehumanizing, even though they're not human, they're, you know, taking away like, oh, it's just a frog, it's just frog legs, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, you want to eat this frog's chest?
Also, like, I know how people are saying, it's just a frog is an amphibian. That is very impressive. I don't think we should be fucking with the amphibians because they can do a lot of shit that we cannot do, and I think we should respect them.
That's true. I mean, honestly, I would rather breed by just, you know, going and unloading on my lady's clutch instead of having to do all that nonsense. But frogs can do it. They can just, you know, go to wherever the eggs are laid, and there.
Yeah.
Tadpoles. That's impressive.
It's very impressive. And we're frying them up and eating them. We should be ashamed of ourselves.
All right, so, like, we were talking about people chewing, but, like, for some reason, I'll get, you know, stoned or whatever, and Chelsea will be asleep, and I'll end up watching wildlife videos of, like, snakes and scorpions and wasps and all this weird shit that I'm terrified of, but I can watch it on my TV and be fine. Like, as far as chewing goes, like, watching a snake eat something is it's fascinating, but it is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to unhinge their jaw, and it's just, and then there's just this big chunk of something in the middle of them for how, it's just weird watching.
I wonder what it sounds like.
Well, first you hear the squeak of the little animal getting crushed to death.
Yes. Yeah, and the then, bones breaking.
Yeah, and then you don't hear much.
Right.
They tend to be quiet about it.
Because aren't they just basically using the muscles to just swallow it down, Pete, like inch by inch or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, wow. I mean, at least animals chewing, it's not egregious. It can be annoying, but it's not egregious.
I just hate it because for some reason in my old age, I've lost my perception of where a sound is coming from. So I'll hear the cats eat, and I don't know where they're eating, so I don't know if they're eating something that they're supposed to or not, because it all sounds the same, whether they're chewing on a wire or their food. That's what annoys me more than anything else.
I can't imagine chewing on a wire would be loud.
It's very loud, especially when it's plugged in.
Well, I was going to say, until it fucking pops and electrocutes the cat.
And they get a little zzz, but they still haven't learned.
Fair enough. So this is the question I wanted to ask you, RJ. When do you remember, like, how early or how young of an age you were like, all right, chewing is things? Disgusting. Yeah.
It's a wonderful question. I don't. I mean, I would say perhaps I couldn't imagine me being disgusted by anything like in grade four or five. I would say maybe like seven or eight, eighth grade.
Yeah.
I start developing a real distaste for things just in general. But, you know, hearing adults chew, spending enough time around people and just hearing the silence of the chewing. You ever hear a teacher chew something at the front of the class?
Yeah.
Like, bitch, why are you eating and I can't?
Well, it's just the watching it. You can't distract yourself.
Right. So what about, okay, and obviously you don't have to give names away. What about people eating in the locker room?
I actually used to eat green peppers or red peppers because I liked them in the locker room. I'd take them with me because they're easy to take, and they have like basically a handle. The stem is a handle. You just eat it like this. It's easy to take on the road, and if you need to wash it, you can wash it and whatever. So I would have those. The worst thing in a wrestling locker room, and a surprising amount of number of people still do it, even though no one really does it that much anymore, is chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
Which is really, really just, there's no way around it not being disgusting.
So when I was in, I went to like a rural career center. Like, I'm from Cleveland. We moved to Akron, and then we moved out to like Medina, which is like west of Akron. You know, big, that's like, hey, Trump's got out there.
Basically. Right.
I went out there. And so to get away from the rich kids, because I was poor, I went to the career center and I went into the building trade so I could learn how to do electrical, carpentry, all that bullshit. And, you know, I was raised religious, but I was like, I was a bad kid. And so, I knew if I smoked and, you know, I got picked up from school, it was somebody, my mom was going to smell it on me.
Right.
So I was like, how do I be bad? But, you know, so I'm with all these hillbilly dipshits, and I used dip for, I would say, under 10 times in my entire life. And it is the most disgusting thing. You're spitting, like Adam Cole does it. I've seen videos of him doing it, and I'm just like, you're too pretty to do anything that disgusting, man.
Well,
go ahead, please.
I used to dip when I fought. Yeah, it was just something to. It really upset people that fought barefoot, which made me happy, and it kept me away from the pain that I was getting in my face. So it just.
Why not just wear a mouth guard?
I mean, no. I had a dip in. I didn't need a mouth guard.
Now, as you both know, having been former dippers yourselves, the people who dip are always looking for somewhere to spit it.
That's what I'm saying.
And I was in a locker room in Buffalo, and I often have energy drinks before I do the show. And it's often so nice when you feel like you've had your drink and then you remember you still have a little left. You're like, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. So next to my bag, I went, I grabbed my, you know, you shake the can and there was a lot left. And I was like, great. Boy, I am in luck. And oh my God. I rarely do I eat something, you know, rarely does something external force me to like want to throw up.
Right.
But it was such a disgusting mixture of everything. And I like, you know immediately what it is, even though you've never tasted it before.
God. I don't want to go into the details of it because I don't want to make you sick, let alone myself sick. That is.
Go from, you know, what was perhaps a rock star to expect that kind of false happy flavor.
Yeah.
Did it ruin
and then
it
to
for
receive
you
this raw reality. You know?
Did it ruin it for you at all for a while?
I just always have it in my hand while I'm drinking it now.
Don't trust any wrestlers.
Yeah, I will just never leave it. And it's really, yes, it's my own naivete to leave it open like that.
Yeah. The worst thing that I had happened with an energy drink was I had a lady over the night before that didn't swallow, and I didn't know where she put it when she was done. It turned out when I went to take a swig of my energy drink in the morning, that's where she spit it. And I can't drink Red Bull anymore.
Do you think perhaps that was an Aesop's fable for you?
Yeah, the moral of the story is don't leave an open energy drink right next to your bed.
I mean, well, what year was this?
2012.
Okay, so this was after American Pie came out when Tara Reid blows the kid from Rookie of the Year and spits it in the beer and Sean William Scott drinks it. So I don't really have sympathy for you on this one.
Look,
you should know.
I told her to spit it in my laundry basket. Like, I would do laundry in the morning. I didn't care. And she just didn't listen.
What if one of your good shirts is in there, not one of your jizz rags?
It'll wash. Everything washes.
I thought he was going to say everything was a jizz rag.
Well, I mean, everything is a jizz rag with me. I don't care. But, no,
it'll wash. You look so disappointed that you did this.
Well, I just wonder, do you think she maybe did it as a way to get back at you, saying, and how do you like it, mister?
Well, I mean, all she would have had to do then is just spit it in my mouth, which I also suggested. So, you know, no, she just decided she was going to be bratty and spit it in my energy drink.
You know, in this climate of PC, safe culture stuff, it's really upsetting that I can't kink shame him for snowballing right now. I wish I could.
No, because the reality is you have a Sabu tattoo. So you have a few kinks of your own. That's PC culture aside.
Fair enough.
You can't kink shame me for doing something that other people like. I didn't get into snowballing because it was something for me. It was just a couple of the people that I were with were really into it. So it was like, okay, well, I'll do this to make you happy. It doesn't really bother me that much.
So wait, so like Linkin Park, guilty by association. you started liking it because other people were doing it?
No, I liked it because the person I was with liked it.
Oh, well, what I mean,
he was trying to be affable.
Yeah.
Fair enough, but I don't know. I don't know. But like, I'm just going to leave it with this. Like we said before, the body is disgusting. Humans are gross.
And here we are.
Yeah. Humans are gross, and I love being gross, so it works for me.
Yes, we have to learn to love ourselves, and with that becomes accepting our own disgust.
So, I mean, and like after, you know, watching, you know, your show on Sunday mornings on YouTube, 9:30.
Yes, yes.
I love plugging you all the time. It's fun. You know, I've gotten to learn quite a bit when you have your mom on. And it's, you know what, I really, because I think I'm pretty sure you, me and my fiance, pretty sure we're all the same age, just because you make very specific references that only people our age like get.
Mm-hmm.
So just learning about your mom though, and it sounds like you got your balls busted quite a bit growing up.
Oh, yes. That seems to be the mode of communication.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that builds character. You know, now everybody's super nice to their kids. I mean, you can show love to your kids and still call them an idiot if they're being an idiot.
Right. It builds character and also breeds jaded people.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's good and bad. Sometimes, you know, if you're really nice to your kid, it has its own cons. But then I also look at these people and I go, wow, I wish I was that happy. That genuine, like purely happy. I'm like, that's incredible.
Purely happy doesn't exist. And we all know that.
I had to bust my son's balls because otherwise I knew he was not going to be able to handle it at school. So now he's a vicious verbal killer, same as his dad.
See? And you did it because you love him. You hated him because you love him.
Or you love him because you hate him. Either way.
Yeah.
And RJ, I don't know. Cheer still does it. I dabble. I can't wait to watch your stand-up special, or, well, stand-up set that you posted on your exclusive thing that we will let you plug in a few minutes.
But, oh, yes.
I haven't watched it yet, but Sheer has been doing comedy about, what, 15 years now?
That's right.
And I started back in 2014, but I kind of went from music and booking shows, like punk rock shows and stuff, and I transferred into comedy, which kind of all transferred into podcasting. So I'm just curious, like, you said you've never really gone up and done stand-up. Is there a reason, or do you still want to? Or,
well, I do. It's just a lot of it is very specific circumstances. Like, usually, like, I'll open for Mick Foley, or the stand-up on my YouTube is from a show I did with Dalton Castle. So there's usually, like, a kind of wrestling-ish theme to it. Very rarely do I get up and do, like, straight stuff.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Yeah. On, like, like a remote stand-up show. However, I do improv and sketch stuff all the time. That is, I would say unrelated to wrestling, which is nice. Yeah. And it's also weird, like, because I do wrestling, like when I was talking with Colt Cabana, who does stand up too, I was like, do you ever not talk about wrestling? Because I always think, gee, I want to stay away from wrestling as much as possible. Sure. I don't just want to do the wrestling stuff. I want to write jokes that are good, you know, away from it. And then he said, no, why would I do that? That's my life. It's what I do. And I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, shit, if you were a lawyer, naturally you would have some material about being a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know? And also, but I will say, wrestling to non-wrestling people is a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just very unusual. Well, so a lot of the... I end up explaining the concept half the time.
Exactly. You know? That's what I was going to say, is it's like, if you're going to tackle something like that, if it's not that crowd, like wrestling and wrestlers, wrestling fans, like there's a lot of nuances and very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like in language, like you have to, like, you know, you could say heel or face, and a lot of people aren't going to know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yes. My other favorite is when I'll do something and I'll talk about being a wrestler at a comedy show or whatever, and then people come up to me later and they go, oh, like, I looked you up. They're like, I thought it was just a bit. I was like, oh, that's a long way to go. And similarly with the David Arquette stuff, because people will sometimes mention it at comedy shows, and they go, and they'll say, oh, wow, I didn't realize that was real.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's not, it's a really weird thing to come up with.
So wait a minute. I have been wasting my time this entire time. I could have just come up with some weird wrestling angle to launch my stand-up career with.
Absolutely. Just they don't know.
Man.
I was like, when you were a kid and you, I don't know, you were with like a remote relative for like a day, and you're like, they won't be able to cross-reference. I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
Let's just completely lie to this person.
This is what I get for trying to be honest. God damn it.
I know. But no, I do enjoy it. And I do, and I will say, and stand up, there is so much stuff that I end up saying when I do the coffee and underwear on Sundays. And then I go, oh, well, maybe this is a thing. And then I will perhaps tweet it or extrapolate on it. And then it turns into a bit. So perhaps if you watch my stand-up, you'll go, I've definitely heard this before on his YouTube. But also, well, I mean, this is now the new place, because there's nowhere else to go.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's how I found myself coming up on with bits through podcasts and stuff like that. So, I get that.
That's kind of... because, you know, Kevin Smith and who was the other guy? Not Norm MacDonald, the other Man Show guy, Adam Carolla. They were kind of like the pod fathers, if you will. And you can actually look this up on YouTube because Kevin Smith's, what's the network, was called Smodcast. And that was the name of the original podcast. And this this guy ended up doing these Smodimations. I don't know if you've ever seen these, but they're little cartoons with the podcast added into them. And I was actually showing them to Chelsea yesterday, and she's like, "How have you never showed me these before? They're hilarious!" And like, it's something I wish you. It was it's you know, 4 or 5 minute videos, and they go into like they do like two different videos on like talking about Harry Potter, and it's great. Like, I recommend it to anybody if you haven't seen it. They're funny as fuck.
I was not a fan, but that's that's my own personal preference, Jordan.
Look, I don't do opinions here. People just agree with me.
Let's just stick to the facts.
All right. Fact, I don't like listening to Kevin Smith while he's really, really high.
That's fair just enough.
My personal preference. You know, there are some people that, you know, it's just, they get really high. You can tell it's like, okay, we get it, guy. Like, knock it off.
That's a good question, actually. What about, all right, so again, no names or anything, but like, have you seen people just backstage where you're just like, you're just filth. You're a filthy person.
Well, I mean, the real cardinal sin is people who do not wash their gear.
Ugh. Does that happen a lot?
I wouldn't say it happens a lot. I mean, also, you know, with some degree of consideration, people are on the road and traveling a lot all over different places. And it's not like you can go home all the time and wash and dry and then come out. A lot of times you're on the road. Having said that, you can, you know, there's hacks of, you know, put it in the sink in the hotel, right, and then hang it out. Or at least, you know, have a spray for after you wrestle and, you know, whatever, like you would hockey gear or some such thing.
Sure.
It's, yeah, it's not cool. And you also, you gotta wash. And that does not mean, you know, spraying Axe on it. Like, you can't just layer smells.
Yeah.
It's not so much, I want a new smell. It's, I don't want this smell.
Well, what people don't understand is, like, that's not what that odor is that's on your trunks or your clothes or whatever. That is, okay, that's sweat that has bacteria in it that is going to grow and make the smell worse. Like, it's not, you have to clean it. You can't just spray it.
The worst is when I will get finished a show. And also, as you gentlemen well know, in indie wrestling, seldom are they in facilities with showers.
Yes.
Which is disgusting enough.
Yes.
But I, you know, sometimes I'll be driving home and I realize, oh my, I have someone else's BO.
Oh.
It's not even, I don't even have the decency to have my own body odor. It's, I'm like, what? When did I thought I was clean. I didn't really bump or do anything. I was like, oh, no, this is somebody else's.
Do you often smell like David?
He smells great.
I can imagine he does.
He smells good. I also got him the cologne that Jerry Lewis was known for always wearing.
No kidding.
It's Alfred Dunhill for men. It's from England, and he was known for smelling like it. Apparently, he bought like 1,000 bottles, and he also allegedly sprayed it when he went to visit Sammy Davis Jr. on his deathbed. So we have that cologne, and we're gonna open it and maybe do a séance.
Fair enough.
Is it the same Dunhill as the cigarettes?
No, that would be amazing, though. Mm. Imagine if you buy your cigarettes and cologne from the same company.
Yeah.
That's a way to corner the market, though. Yeah, something that just reminded me when you said seance was when we were chatting, I don't know if it was Wednesday night or last Sunday, when I said to you, I'll be the Anton LaVey to your Jane Mansfield.
Yes.
The reason I had said that was, I don't know if, I mean, I assume you knew this since you did that video or whatever, that she was a member of the Church of Satan.
Yes, as was, well, I don't think Sammy he was Sammy a member. Yeah. I also think he was, you know, doing it for kicks.
Yeah, I think Sammy Davis Jr. was there so that they could go, look, we believe in eugenics, but we're not racist. Look.
Yeah, the same way that he would wear bell bottoms. I think he was interested in being a Satanist.
Well, the reason I had said that to you is like I convey a very Anton LaVey look. I call myself Fat-on LaVey.
Right.
So I figured, you know, you could be the Jane Mansfield.
Yes.
And it'll be lots of fun.
Similarly, I think Anton LaVey was also looking for a cool way to meet celebrities.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. And what's the coolest way other than Satan?
Right.
Like, he's very enticing.
Yes. I think if he had a cabaret act, he wouldn't have been as successful.
Okay. So, all right. Before we like let you plug all your shit real quick, I have had this idea, and if any of our listeners steal it, I will, no, I'm just going to say it's trademark. So I had this idea a few years back of doing like a late night talk show, basically a late night talk show, but having it be completely satanic themed.
Yes.
And I was going to play like a super over the top, like, Hail Satan, like that kind of thing. And my name was going to be J-A-Y-K-E Mansfield. And, the name of it, which I need to change because it's too long, but it was going to be the Declaration of Sin Dependence. Hmm. And we're going to have a band of all Jewish.
That is an improv group, Jordan.
It is?
I mean, I don't doubt that it is.
Oh, well, whatever. I don't care. I'll change the name anyway. But we were going to have a band of druids, and then my best friend slash cousin, who's black, was basically going to play the band leader and be like my Sammy Davis Jr. And
Very nice.
It would have basically been like, just picture like a 70s late night talk show, but about Satan.
So Hugh Hefner, but with Satan.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sure.
I can see that.
All right. So go ahead, Shear.
RJ, where can we find you on the internet?
Well, my best advice to you would be to just Google RJ City, and a bunch of things will pop up. And you can follow what you like and don't follow what you don't like. But I will also encourage you to message me and tell me what you don't enjoy.
Oh, you're glutton for punishment, are you?
Yeah. Well, I want to know what the people. I really trust the public opinion.
You seem to care about it so much.
Yes. As long as people are happy and smiling, I'm doing okay.
Sure. I mean, well, hey, it's my Sunday mornings. Me and my fiance Sunday mornings have literally become... We make sure we're up, and I have coffee going by 8:30. So come 9:30, all the fluids are expelled already.
Yes.
And, you know, you just want to eat bread. You know, I had Cracker Barrel, and I watched it this morning. It was lots of fun. So
yes, 9:30 is Sunday mornings on my YouTube. I make a coffee in my underwear live, and you're also there and chat.
And it's, you know, you can, for $5, song requests, which
yes.
I love sending you song requests, because even if you don't know my song, you kind of are always like, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, that's my favorite, when I don't know the song, but sing it anyway.
What was the one this morning was great. It was, Mom Coming Home. And then, like, after a couple minutes, you were like, oh, yeah, Mom Coming Home. And that's all it was.
Yes, awesome. Yes, that was it. And it works.
Yeah, it works. Yeah.
It works. That's the only part you wanted to hear.
You're right.
9:30, or not 9:30. We already plugged it, but 10 o'clock yes. Wednesday's evening.
10 p.m., yes.
After Dynamite. Dark. Well, right, RJ City After Dark, which is after Dynamite.
Yes, and also after NXT.
Yeah, oh, yes, yeah. After NXT as well. And then you have...
It's after no matter what you're watching.
Right, exactly. There you go. Well, you have all the ratings then, because you get everybody all at once.
We just broke a 2 last week, and I'm very excited.
Eric Bischoff would be proud.
Yeah.
So you release, you have a couple different series. I'd say you release a video, like, what, every other day, or at least, like, almost every day?
I do a series now on Fridays called The Good, the Bad, and the Unknown, and I take an actor that I like, and I break down one work that I like, one work of theirs that I don't, and one that's a little under the radar. When is this coming out, by the way?
Tomorrow.
Oh, perfect. So what am I doing this? Oh, speaking of, what did I do? Last week I did Paul Lynde. Oh, this week I'm doing Ethel Merman.
Oh, nice.
Which is what Ernest Borgnine used to say.
Oh, Burgess Meredith.
Oh, I do have to do Burgess Meredith. That reminds me.
Can you do, just a request, Gene Wilder?
That's a very good, I think there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
Because I just did Madeline Kahn.
I know.
And a lot of people have asked me about her work in Sherlock Holmes' younger, smarter brother thing, which is a Gene Wilder film.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. One. Well, maybe I'll have to talk about that, because it's basically all the classic Mel Brooks cast, but it's a Gene Wilder, like he wrote it and directed it.
Oh, wait, didn't you briefly mention it on the Madeline Kahn episode?
I believe so.
Yeah, I would definitely absolutely check that out. But there was one other thing I wanted to fucking ask you about. Gene Wilder. One of my favorites of the Gene Wilder, actually my favorite of the Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, that's often overlooked, is See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Yes.
That one is, for whatever reason, everybody always says, what's the one where they go to prison? I can't remember it.
I know what it is. And actually, Gilbert Gottfried was in the prison one, and then he got cut out. That was a much maligned film. I think it had to change directors, and it was a whole thing.
No kidding. Well, anyway, See No Evil, Hear No Evil. If you like Gene Wilder, if you like Richard Pryor, go out of your way to check it out. You will laugh. You release videos all the time. Your YouTube channel is great. There's plenty of, I just interviewed Greg Iron yesterday.
Oh God.
The next issue of my zine coming out, he's the cover, he's the main article, all this stuff. So he came over yesterday and we, chatted for a while and we rewatched. I asked him to pick three of his matches because I want to write it like an intertwined story, like kind of like a Rolling Stone article. And we watched your guys' death match. And I cannot recommend to anybody listening, look up Greg Iron versus RJ City deathmatch.
It's on YouTube.
On YouTube. It's free. There's weapons. There's death. There's ghosts. And also, I did get a little tidbit from him that he was like, yeah, these guys fucking sucked.
I will say this about me and especially that match. If you like wrestling, you will like it. If you hate wrestling, you will love it.
There you go.
Fair enough. Oh, what's your, you want to just plug your Twitter real quick?
No, nobody's sitting there with a pen.
Google
my name. Just type it in and so much will come up.
There you go. So Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates people chewing as much as RJ City.
No, there is another.
I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge paper.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.